You are blessed to be a blessing. Praise God. Someone who is a colleague of mine once asked me, we were studying a text for the weekend, and he asked, since people these days are resisting spending an hour in church on Sundays, why not set up worship virtually so at least they are hearing God's word? In other words, set it up so that the whole congregation could just stay at home and listen to the word of God from the comfort of their couches or wherever they might be most comfortable. You could arrange it, he said, so that others who are online on the computer, of course you have to have a computer, at the same time could actually interact. The people who want to can stay home, and those who want to go to church can go to the church and hear the same word. Now, I hadn't really thought about being able to interact this way, although I've had times when the arrangements have been made so that one could stay home and take a class, take a course from a university or across the waters, if you will. So I said to him, no, it's not being in community if the congregation stays home. Worship is the assembly of believers. He said, but they would be assembled, not just in the same room, not just in the same building. They're still assembled. And again, I said, no, it's not the same. It's not human interaction when you're interacting with a computer. Human interaction is live. It's face to face. It's not with a technological device. It's not relationship. If you just stay on your couch and look at your computer and interact in that way. I will give you that thought today. You could discuss it and ponder over it and see what you come up with. Is it the same if you stay home and worship by way of the computer, which of course is by means of something called Wi-Fi or something, you would be basically in the room with the rest of the congregation, only you'd be on a screen. Well, you might know that we never agreed on that point. But that's the way some people attend seminary classes these days. They could sit at home in their offices or wherever they like to study, and they can be right in the classroom with the other students at, say, Wartburg Theological Seminary in Dubuque. And it's a new way of doing things. We might call them distant learners, and they're still in the classroom. They can interact on a screen. They're looking at their classmates. I don't think they might be seated. I don't know whether they see them or not. I've never tried this technology. But a friend of mine who's a professor there in Dubuque says it's just like they're in the classroom. So for you, it would be just like you were in this building worshiping with everybody else. Well, this is kind of how I understand Facebook. I'm not meaning to be critical of Facebook. I don't know much about it because I don't have it. But it's a very successful social network. People post things on Facebook and others can read or see pictures of what is on Facebook. But still, it's not face-to-face interaction. And maybe I'm biased, and maybe you're not like me, but I would much rather be talking to a person in standing right in front of me than to be looking at a device of some sort. One night I was in the back of a friend's vehicle. A couple was in the front seat. We were on our way to some social outing, and the two in the front were having conversation. I couldn't hear a lot of it, but then it wasn't really intended for me anyway. But one said to the other one, "I was asked by so-and-so to be his friend." And the other says, "Are you going to?" And the reply was, "I haven't decided yet, but I probably will." Now, this is an interesting interaction from my point of view. Negotiation about whether or not to be someone's friend, to interact with that person. It's about relationship. And of course, it's about being a friend on Facebook. But it feels a little bit to me like Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night, undercover, if you will. And although Jesus and Nicodemus were actually face to face, they didn't really communicate with each other very well. At least from Nicodemus's side, he wasn't understanding what Jesus was saying. But their conversation, if you recall, goes like this. Jesus answered Nicodemus, "No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And so what might seem logical to us, Nicodemus took literally what Jesus said and answered the question with a question. How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? You see, he completely misunderstands. And it goes on like that. Jesus makes a statement, and Nicodemus just can't get down to the same level where Jesus is. Jesus, you see, continues to teach. How can it be, says Nicodemus. We know that they're talking on two different levels. And so we might ask ourselves, are they communicating? Do they have a relationship, an interaction that is meaningful? I was reminded of an incident that took place one day as I arrived, or one night as I arrived at home. I got out of the car in the garage, which is tucked under my living room, and I was talking on the cell phone to a friend. I let myself in the residence and decided to ride my stair chair up for the fun of it, I guess. And I was told that at least that these chairs are better off if you use them occasionally. So that's what it was about. And so I was talking to this friend all the time. I was buzzing up the steps on the chair. And once I was upstairs, we continued our conversation. I put my bag down. I took off my coat and so on, hoping I wouldn't need to go back downstairs for anything. When I suddenly realized, "Oh," I said to my friend, "I must have left my cell phone in the car." And so I said, "I've got to go back down to the car and take a look." And all the time I'm going back down to the car, I'm talking away on my cell phone. Have you ever been there? And so I go down and I look all over the car, I look at my purse, et cetera, et cetera. And finally, of course, as Paul Harvey might have said, now you know the rest of the story. And so we come to what Martin Luther called the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. Don't you wonder if Nicodemus came out of the darkness and into the light the moment he heard these words? Do you suppose they had meaning to him? That he knew then what Jesus was talking about? We are all born again. We're born again in our baptism. We're born again each and every day that we get up. We don't know for sure, but maybe we realize most completely in this statement in John 3:16, that God loves the world, as some are apt to say, period. God loves the world, and there's nothing we can do about it. And so, understanding, forgetting what we're doing, not being at the same level of understanding, all of that leads me to think about our need for control. Our need to be the ones who come to some point in time and sort of flip a switch on faith. The truth be told, I believe we sometimes would prefer to tell God who to love and who not to love, not the whole world, not everybody in it, because I might not really believe that everybody is deserving of God's love. We like to be in control of everything, but that isn't the way it is. We understand that God's love is for everyone. We understand that Jesus went to the cross, was resurrected, not for Lutheran Christians or Methodist Christians or any group of people. Jesus went to the cross for everyone, everyone. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the dark, in the darkness, we might say. He didn't have a clue. When he initiated this conversation, he couldn't grasp what Jesus was saying to him because he did take everything literally. How can these things be? And I wonder if I wouldn't ask the same question. There are a couple of people that I have especially admired in the world for their outreach to people who are in need, and that's Prince William and Harry. They extend their hand to people in need. And that's what this is all about, that we too extend our hand to people in need. Maybe reaching out to those folks in Nashville after a big tornado went through there last week. Devastating. We get it, don't we? We get it. God loves the world. And it is through us. Once again, I'll say, it is through us that teaches others how much, well, we can't quantify it. Simply, we teach others, we show others through our own actions that God indeed does love the world and everyone in it. I read a story that illustrates this love that God has for us. Tom was a member of a congregation, and he told a story. Several nights earlier, Tom's 6-year-old son, Benjamin, protested his bedtime. He was frustrated by his father's refusal to budge, and Benjamin finally became so frustrated that he said, "Daddy, I hate you." Tom, possessing the presence of mind that I sometimes wish that I more frequently displayed, replied to his son, "I'm sorry you feel that way, Ben, but I love you." And then Benjamin replied, "Don't say that." I've heard that before, haven't you? "Surprise," Tom continued, "Ben, but it's true. I love you." "Don't say that," he said again. "Stop saying that, Daddy. Stop it right now." And then it came, "Benjamin, now listen to me. I love you, like it or not." And isn't that the way it is with God? God loves us, like it or not, even when we turn our backs. It's not conditional. It's not the Father saying to the Son, "If you go to bed when I tell you to, then I'll love you. If you clean up your plate at dinner, then I'll love you. Eat your spinach and your broccoli and all of those other green things that you can't hide in milk, then I'll love you." That's not how it is. Ben couldn't do or say anything that would make his father not love him. And so it is with God. That's the message we want to take to other people, to those that are hurting, to those who are at war in the world, to those who are broken in whatever way it is. God loves you no matter what. And there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. So that's our job, to take that John 3:16 verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, we're told in the next verse, but to save the world. That's the message we take out when we go out today. Whether we forget what we're doing sometimes, as I do, no matter what, that is the message. We must not forget it, and we must share it with others. Like it or not, God loves us and blesses us to be a blessing to others. Amen.